Well, I wanted to take a few moments now and want to look at the healing anointing. And if we open our Bibles to Acts 10:38, I want to look at the healing anointing and how it can be transferred by a person who's anointed to minister along these lines. So I want to just look at these things. We're delving into certain areas of healing. It's a healing class on the subject of bodily healing, but we want to also, you know, as they say, not only just know about it, but be able to cooperate with the anointing of God. And so here we want to look at the scriptures and see that Jesus was what? Acts 10:38, he was anointed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. This is dunamis power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Who was with him? God was with him. Let me read this from the Amplified. It says, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. For God was with him. And this word anointed, it means to anoint, but it means that he was consecrated to a particular office. Or you could say it was a messianic office. But he was furnished with all the necessary powers to administer that those offices that he stood in. And so when we use the word anointed in this verse, anointed, Holy Ghost, and power, they're all synonymous. They're similar. You could use them in a similar way. They're interchangeable, you could say. So let's take a look here. How does God anoint individuals to minister? Well, we have different offices in which God calls individuals to minister. We have the apostle and the prophet. And what else? We have the evangelist, and we have the pastor, and we have the teacher. These are the five offices. So these are offices that God can use to operate the gift of healing through. And Jesus, if you turn over to John 3:34, John 3:34. It says, and this is the King James, it says, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So, and that's what the New Living Translation says. It said, God gives him the Spirit without limit. So Jesus had the Spirit without limit, but we, the members of the body of Christ, we have a measure of the anointing of God. So Jesus was and is, he is the Son of God, and he stood in all these offices. So he had the Spirit of God without measure. He stood in all of those five offices at the same time. And he had the anointing, or the grace, you could say, or the anointing that goes along with that office. So there's an anointing that goes along with a particular office that somebody stands in. If a person stands in the office of a pastor or a teacher, they don't have the anointing that may rest on someone who stands in the office of a prophet or an evangelist. Different anointing. But Jesus had the anointing without measure. Because why? He stood in all those offices at the same time. That's something, isn't it? But here's the point. He, as I was saying, he was and is the Son of God, but he didn't operate as the Son of God when he operated in his ministry on the earth. He operated as a man. Because if he was the Son of God, and I say it that way, why would he have to have been anointed by God with the Holy Ghost? There'd have been no need to. He would have been anointed. But Philippians says he set aside this glory, and it says, actually, some of the translations say he set aside this divine privilege, and he operated as a man, anointed by the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So let's take a look here. Let's see what the Bible says here regarding Jesus being anointed. A couple of verses. Let's look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19. Very familiar verse. He went into the temple. He took the scrolls, and what did he say? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath," what? "Anointed me." So he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised," verse 19, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then, of course, Acts 10:38, how God did what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. So he was anointed of God to do what he said in verse 18 and 19, but also going about doing good and doing what? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So he was anointed of God. Now, let's take a quick look here. Let's turn over to Matthew 14, and let's look at some of what we would call the characteristics of the healing anointing, and let's look at this. The anointing is transmittable. It's transmittable. Matthew 14, let's take a look at verse 35 and 36. Matthew 14, and verse 35 and 36. And it says, "And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Let me read it in the New Living. It says, "When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed." Well, they must have. It says when they heard the news that he was in the area, is like the woman with the issue of blood when she heard of Jesus. So the news of what he had been doing in his ministry had spread abroad. So when they knew he was in the area, they brought all their sick folk. Why? Because they knew they'd be healed. And what is in verse 36, I like this in the New Living. It says, "They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed." So they sought to touch the hem of his garment. They didn't touch him. They did what? They just touched the hem of his garment or the fringe of his robe, and they were healed. So you could see the healing power of God is tangible. It's tangible. I mean, when you think about Paul in the New Testament, in the New Testament, it said just the shadow of him, right? People were affected by the shadow of his person going by. So it's tangible. The healing power is tangible. Think about, let's go over to Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood, and verse 27. In verse 27, it said, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. I like the New Living says, she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. So she touched his robe. The healing power of God is tangible. So Jesus was anointed. His garment was charged, you could say, with the same power or anointing with which he himself was anointed. Same power that he himself was anointed with. His clothes were charged with it. Let's look at Acts 19, verses 11 and 12. Acts 19. Talking about the healing power of God being transmittable. Acts 19, and this is Paul, verses 11 and 12, and it said here, and God wrought what? Special miracles by the hands of Paul. I'm reading from the King James. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out from them. The New Living says, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. This is the New Living. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. So the same thing, whatever garment touched the skin of Jesus' body was charged with that healing anointing, with that power. To do what? To heal and to deliver. Same thing with Paul. Whatever touched his skin was charged or anointed with the same anointing that he was anointed with. And that anointing was able to do what? Heal and deliver. So the main thing is, you can see here, it was cloth. It was either something made of cloth. It wasn't a fabric that was synthetic, but it was cloth. You know, the handkerchief or some type of cloth. Let's take a look at another characteristic of the anointing. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2 in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. And this is where God commanded the prophet Elijah to anoint Elisha to take his place. And the characteristic here is the anointing is measurable. This is another characteristic of the anointing. And you could say the healing anointing, it's measurable. In 2 Kings chapter 2, in verse 9, it says, and it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So the anointing is measurable. And then, of course, we just read in John 3:34 that Jesus had the Spirit, what? Without measure. So it's measurable. And we have the anointing with a measure. Now let's go over to Mark chapter 5. And let's look at this account of the woman with the issue of blood. And another characteristic is the anointing is tangible. So it's transferable, it's measurable, and it's tangible. When we say tangible, it just means something that's perceptible to the touch. You know it's there. It's tangible. So let's look at this here. It says in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes. Isn't that interesting? She didn't say, if I touch him. She just said, if I just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, you know, she must have had some knowledge of that. There must have been, because there are other accounts in the scripture where people just touched his clothes. So she must have known that she could just touch his clothes and she'd be healed. That's what her faith spoke. And so it says, and straightway, verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she what? She felt in her body. We're talking about something being tangible. If something's tangible, you feel it. So she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And look at verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. So he felt something. It was tangible to him, right? So you can see in both cases. He knew something flowed out of him, and she felt something going into her. So there was something tangible, right? So the power of God is tangible. Now, let's jump over you right there. Let's go over to Mark 6, and let's look at verse 5. And the healing power of God is, and let's see how the healing power of God is transferred. So we're looking at characteristics. We saw that it's transferable, it's measurable, and it's tangible. That's a characteristic. But then let's look at, how is the healing power transferred? How is it transferred? Or you could say, what are the methods that Jesus used to heal the sick or minister to the sick? He had many methods, right? Sometimes he just spoke to him, arise and walk. Sometimes he just said, go, your son is healed or your daughter's healed. Sometimes he did it that way. But the primary way, if you look through the scriptures, the primary way that he ministered to the sick was the laying on of hands. That's the primary way. So in Mark 6, verse 5, it says, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he did what? Laid hands upon a few sick folk and did what? And healed them. So we're talking about the laying on of hands as a means to transfer the healing power of God. Now let's look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. These are methods of how the healing power of God is transferred. We're looking at the laying on of hands. Luke 4, verse 40, it says, now when the sun was setting, all they, see the word all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he did what? He laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Or you could say they were all healed. Whoever had hands laid upon them, they were healed. And let's jump over to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. And verse 13. Or let's back up to verse 10 in Luke 13. It said, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Well, that always used to get him, right? And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he did what? He not only spoke, but he did what? He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So we can see another account here of him laying hands upon someone. And immediately the power of God was transferred into their body and they were healed. So this is one method that healing is transferred or transferable. And the anointing, we can see here the anointing of God is transferable. Let's look at, we did this here. We looked at these two accounts. The anointing is transferable. We looked at Paul, meaning it was, he laid his hands, or the cloth touched his skin, and it was transferred into those cloths, and those cloths were laid on what? Sick bodies, and they were healed. So the anointing is transferable. It's tangible, and it's transferable. And you saw here the same account, the woman with the issue of blood. We just got done reading about this. The anointing is transferable. Those garments that were touching Jesus' body, his skin, that anointing transferred into those clothes that he was wearing. And when they touched those clothes, the anointing, the faith that they had, caused that anointing to be what? Transferred to them. Same thing. So, you know, when people talk about stuff being superstitious, they're not superstition. This is the word of God. This is God's word. These are methods that God has put in place for the power of God to be ministered, the healing power of God to be ministered to sick bodies. Amen? Another thing also is that the healing power of God is administered in degrees. You know, an individual, there can be a difference between, you know, Brother Hagin had a ministry of healing. That's a little different than, you know, you're anointed with healing, a ministry or anointing to be healed or to heal in that regard. But he also had a ministry. God anointed him and gave him a ministry in that regard. So there's a difference. But even Brother Hagin said that there were times that one could be more anointed than other times. So there are times that when someone lays hands upon the sick, there's your faith involved and the faith of the individual laying hands upon the sick person, but then there can be degrees of anointing, meaning one could be anointed more than other times. And so the degree of healing can be along that line, that there's more power. Brother Hagin writes about it, that there were times when he was more anointed than other times to heal. That doesn't, so there were times he would get up, I've been in meetings where he'd say, well, the anointing is lifted for me to lay hands upon the sick. He said, that anointing that rested upon me to heal the sick, he said, but I can still lay hands upon the sick and use my faith, and your faith join with my faith. That doesn't mean we're not going to get the same results. But what he was saying is that sometimes the degree of the power of God that may rest upon an individual, there's more power involved. Still doesn't mean that you don't have to do something when you receive that power in your body. Does everybody understand that? That yes, it's tangible, but there's an outflow or something that comes out of the individual's hands, but then you're going to have to receive that anointing and then do something with it. So whether or not a person's more anointed or less anointed, you still have something to do with that. You still have to believe that you receive the power of God, whether you stand, whether you don't stand. You know, if there's more anointing, I mean, there may be a time that, you know, you just, what Brother Hagin always talks about, he said, when the power of God comes in contact with the natural, something's going to give, and it's going to be the natural. So if you're standing and there's more power upon an individual, it may just flatten you on the floor with the power of God. But you still have to do something. Because a lot of people will get up and say, well, there was sure power there, but it's come back again. Well, then that means you're not using your faith. You have to believe that the power of God was received and you're doing something. So we're talking about, in this case, he was talking about the degrees of anointing that may come along with that ministry. Someone may be more anointed than other times. But that was just, you know, when he was just making mention of that. But we can see through Jesus's ministry that the main way is that the laying on of hands was used. And so what's over under this new covenant that we have, let's take a look at Matthew 28. And let's just look at these, Matthew 28 and Mark 16. So it's good to understand the anointing, because there are times, and I'm sure some of you that God has used to lay hands upon the sick, you would have to say maybe there's times you feel something and sometimes you don't feel something. That doesn't necessarily mean that the healing power of God doesn't flow out of an individual. Because think about it, what caused Jesus, just think about this for a moment. Whether you feel anointed or not doesn't mean anything. Just think about the woman with the issue of blood. Did Jesus, there must have been hundreds of people pressing in on him and touching him, bumping up against him. Even his disciples said, what do you mean, who touched me? There are people all around you, pressing up upon you. And so there were people touching him and bumping up against him. No faith. She had faith. She came and was saying, it said she kept saying, if I just touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So the power of God wasn't flowing out of him except for this woman with the issue of blood. So this is why it's always important to remember that if you as an individual need hands laid upon you, you need to come expecting that I'm coming with my faith reaching out to take something from God and receive from him. And that once I receive and I'm prayed for, whether I feel something or not, this is what Doug Jones keeps sharing. Boy, I mean, he taught a lesson at Winter Bible Seminar on this subject, this very subject, on keeping the switch of faith turned on, teaching on healing. That's what he taught on for an hour, 50 minutes. And he kept stressing this, that there has to be, we have to believe that not only when hands are laid upon us that the power of God went in us, but we've got to believe that we received it and it's working. It's working in us. It's working in us. And he spent the time to read the transcript from 1992. He said, this is a transcript of Brother Hagin when he was in Nanuet, New York. He was here. And he read that transcript again. When he was here and how he ministered to this woman that was here. And he said a woman came here who was blind. He laid hands upon her. She received her sight. And he said to this couple that came with their baby that had clubbed feet, deformed feet. And he said, if it's any, he said, I just took the baby's feet and I held them. And he said, the healing power of God was so strong when he touched these baby's feet. And he said to the couple, he said, if it's any comfort to you, I am more anointed right now than when I was just laying my hands upon this woman who was blind. And he said, if it's any comfort, and he said to him, and he said, I don't know why I said it. This is what he said. I don't know why I said it, but I said to the couple, keep the switch of faith turned on. And Doug Jones keeps sharing over and over. He said, what is the switch of faith? He said, a lot of people, when you ask them that, this is their little tagline that they always say. Well, I just keep believing. He said, wrong. He said, wrong. He said, keeping the switch of faith on means I believe that I received the healing power of God in me. See, believing is future tense. He said, keeping the switch of faith on means I believe I received it when hands were laid upon me, and it's working in me. See, he said, that's the switch of faith. And he said, that's what this couple did. This couple stood in the gap for their baby. And he said, the moment their hands were laid upon that baby, he said, they left that meeting saying with their mouth, I believe that when hands were laid upon my baby, that the healing power of God went into our baby, and it's working in to affect a healing and a cure. They said that for months. And he said, after a period of time, the feet began to change. And he said, the next time he saw the baby, the feet were normal. And he said, that's what they shared with him, that we did what you told us to do. We kept the switch of faith turned on. We believed that when you laid hands upon our baby, the power of God went in it. And we kept saying that it's working in him. And they got the results. So the healing power of God, when administered, we have a part to play in that. So let's look here in Matthew 28. It's in verse 18, 19 to 20. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, or you could say all authority, because that's what that word means. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then what does he say? He didn't say, well, this is it. You got to, you know, I'm the only one that can do this. He didn't say that. He said, go ye. So the inference here is that he's transferring this, or he's giving us a command to go with this authority and do what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now let's look at Mark 16. Mark 16, in verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, we could possibly add before that, we wouldn't be messing up the scriptures, so to speak. He said, go in my power, go in my authority, right? If he says go, we just got done reading here, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, go ye. So he says here, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. And you could say, in my name they shall speak with new tongues. In my name they shall take up serpents. And in my name, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So when we lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, they have to recover. They shall recover. But just always remember that whether you feel anointed or not is not the issue. God has given us a command to go preach the gospel and to lay hands upon the sick. And if we fall into that category of being someone who is sick or infirmed, number one, you could lay hands upon yourself. You're anointed. You can lay hands upon yourself and believe that the healing power of God is transmitted into your body to heal your body. Or you can join someone in agreement, say, just lay your hands upon me and I'll receive. Whether you feel on the anointing or not, you have to believe what causes the power of God. That's what I was going to say before. Whether you see or feel an anointing or not, it is tangible. And so this woman with the issue of blood came expecting to receive from Jesus. And that power flowed into her body. I mean, there's times that when hands have been laid upon me, sometimes I fall, sometimes I don't. Sometimes that power has knocked me flat on the floor, and sometimes not. But it doesn't matter whether it does or it doesn't. You're not healed because you fall, and you're not healed because you stand. You're healed because of your faith. And that's what we always have to remember, that it's according to our faith, be it unto you. And as we said, the healing power of God is tangible, so you may feel it. You may feel that tangibility of the healing power of God, and you may not. So we always have to remember that the healing power of God is to arrest that which the devil has wrought in a body. But it's always going to be our faith working with the power of God. It's not just God's side, is not Godward only towards us, but we have to connect with that. We have to receive the healing power of God when hands are laid upon us. And so we should not pull back or not lay hands upon the sick because you don't maybe feel anointed. You lay hands upon the sick because it's a command of the church. It's a charge from the Lord Jesus. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Those that believe will be saved. Those that won't will be damned. And he goes on to say what we're supposed to do. So we lay hands upon the sick. And I believe, you know, Brother Hagin or Pastor Hagin talks about this. And I believe Brother Hagin, I don't recall if he talked about the same thing, but he did. He said he felt that power in his hands, the warmth in his hands, after Jesus touched the finger in both of his palms. But prior to that, he was laying hands upon the sick. He didn't say he felt anything. And Pastor Hagin says the same thing. He said, for years, I laid hands on the sick. I didn't feel anything. And then he said, after a number of years, I began to feel a certain warmth in my hands. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, he said, I'm letting you feel that anointing. Isn't that what he said, Mary Lou? That's what he said. It's Pastor Hagen now. He said, the Lord spoke to him. He didn't say he was increasing the anointing. Now, he may have, but he said to him, I'm letting you feel it now. And so that's what I'm saying. Whether you feel something or don't feel it, the anointing is tangible. You can feel it, but you may not. You yourself personally may not. But that doesn't diminish the power of God, doesn't diminish you receiving or you laying hands upon the sick. Always remember, you know, think about this. When you lay hands upon the sick, that's why it's important to teach faith. You know, I remember years ago, Dr. Price wouldn't lay hands on the sick unless they read his little mini book. He said, the condition was you had to read the little mini book before he would allow people in his healing line. And the reason is because you want to get faith into people. Faith is what causes the power of God to flow in degrees and in a greater measure. So when people come, Brother Hagen would say it all the time. He said it'd be like laying empty hand on an empty head. That's exactly the way he would put it. But he said it would be like you're laying your hand on a doorknob. Nothing. There's nothing there. Right? So no outflow out of the individual. He was anointed by Jesus. Jesus personally brought him up to heaven and laid his finger in his palms. And he said, sometimes it felt like laying my hand on a doorknob. No faith. And yet he was anointed. What did Jesus say? He could do no mighty work in his own hometown, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk. He had the anointing without measure. Without measure. And he could only heal a few sick folk. Now, you're complaining because you don't see results. Huh. Jesus would say, welcome to my company. Because it's about when people come, they have to come in faith. That faith that they have causes the power of God to flow out of an individual. So it's got nothing to do with how anointed you are. Yes, there's faith on us, on our part, the individual laying hands upon the sick in faith that the power of God is going to go into their body and heal them. That's what Jesus was doing. He lay hands on them at God's direction. But then the people coming were coming, scrutinizing him, questioning, who does he think he is? No faith. And Brother Hagen talked about it in his ministry. So it's always important to teach. When he got no results, what did he go back to doing? Teaching and preaching. Teaching and preaching and healing in that order. And so it's important that we as individuals always feed upon the Word of God. I make it my business as much as I can. Even when I was in Tulsa last week, I get something to my email every day. You can go to rhema.org and sign up to get a healing post every day. Today is no excuse. There's no excuse. I take this phone, I open it up in the morning, and I read that healing entry every day. And I make a confession, and I feed on it. You eat every day, don't you? Same thing. So we eat and we feed upon the Word of God. Don't wait until there's a problem, then let's start reading the healing scriptures. No. Let's feed every day, feed every day, feed on the Word of God, so that when the time comes, if you need to have that, when you believe God, so you can believe God for yourself, believe the word of God, or have hands laid upon you, you're coming in faith, believing, right? Or you yourself, when you go to lay hands upon the sick, see, that your faith is where it needs to be. So it's exciting to me that, you know, just thinking about, going back to thinking about Pastor Benny, talking about how he understood the covenant that he had with God through the shed blood of Jesus. And so all these things were purchased for us to operate and walk in. And so we can lay hands upon the sick. When you don't see results, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. If God doesn't say something to you about how you ministered to someone or about something, then you leave it alone. Don't get over into questioning, how come, why didn't I see these results? Because the power of God will be transmitted and transferred where there's faith. Where there's faith, there's results. It's just the key. We see it in Jesus' ministry, and we're all, according to the scripture, the anointing resides within us. And the word of God is anointed. What does the scripture say? Romans chapter 1 says, we're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. That's healing. It's the power of God unto deliverance, the power of God unto healing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm excited about the word of God. How about you? Praise God. Father, we thank you for this time that we can feed upon the anointed word of God. Thank you, Father, for using us in this area. Thank you, Father, for when we've needed healing in our bodies. We thank you for reaching out and taking by faith what you've already done for us. It's already done. It's already been paid for. All we have to do is receive it. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for the power of God working in our bodies, arresting every sickness and disease in our bodies. Thank you for giving us wisdom on how to operate in these temples. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.